Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is a Tuesday, August the 21st, 2012, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We are also Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We're live streaming the show right now at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And you can hear our programs anytime, anywhere by visiting buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, carrying the Buckmaster Show, as does tucsoncitizen.com and gvnews.com. That's the website for the Green Valley News, and Soharita Sun now has a link to our program. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to one. We'll get things rolling with the Attorney General for the state of Arizona, Tom Horn. 20 minutes past the hour, it's our Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman, who, well, he's got kind of a smile. No, not kind of a flat day today on the market. 30 minutes past the hour, the monthly segment focusing on specialty animal care for your companion animal. Today we'll be talking about an issue that pet owners feel pretty strongly about, cats and dogs with behavioral issues. Then we'll close out the show with Margaret Regan. Margaret is the arts editor for the Tucson Weekly, and we're also glad she is the arts editor for the Buckmaster Show. We encourage you to be part of the conversation, the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, or visit our Facebook page, Bill Buckmaster, and you can submit a question to us using the Facebook page. Let's join now Arizona's Attorney General, Tom Horn. Mr. Horn, how are you today?
It's always good to be with you, Bill.
Good to be with you. I want to begin with an update on the medical marijuana situation. Governor Brewer has signed a waiver allowing you to try to close down the marijuana dispensaries that the governor's state health department is in the process of licensing. It seems kind of like a disconnect. What's the latest on this?
Well, you know, I was approached by 13 out of 15 county attorneys asking me to issue an opinion as to whether the Arizona law was preempted by federal law. What that means is that if the state law contradicts federal law, then you come into Article 6 of the United States Constitution, which gives federal law supremacy over state law, regardless of whether it's passed by a legislature or passed as an initiative by the voters. And I found I felt compelled to issue an opinion. Up till then, I had not expressed an opinion on that issue. The lawyers here, the professional lawyers, examined the situation, and there are two recent cases, one out of Oregon and one out of California, that we felt were controlling cases. And what they said was the state cannot authorize people to do things that are illegal under federal law. So most of the medical marijuana law does involve authorizing things that are forbidden under federal law, including growing and selling marijuana. There is the section dealing with cards, and these cases and other cases hold that it is permissible for the state to decriminalize the use of marijuana under state law, and it's permissible to issue cards that people can use as identification. So if a police officer tries to arrest them for possession of a small amount of marijuana and it's not criminalized for them under state law because they have a medical marijuana card, that's a permissible use. So I said that it's all right to have the cards, but all portions that authorize activities prohibited by federal law, including growing and selling marijuana, are in fact preempted. And so I will be filing in the next day or two a motion to intervene in the case, independent of the part of my office that is representing the Department of Health Services. This would be as the Attorney General. And both I and the county attorney from Maricopa County will be seeking an accelerated summary judgment for the judge to rule on the merits. My opinion is not binding, but unless a judge agrees with it. If the judge agrees with it, then those portions of the law would not go forward. If the judge disagrees, I don't want to hold up the process and make it go slower than it would otherwise go, and that would be the reason that we would ask the judge to accelerate a ruling on that.
And the state health director, Will Humble, did hold that lottery to see who would get to serve each of the 126 health districts in the state. What happens now with that lottery that's already been conducted?
Well, the lottery results in the issuance of registration certificates, but that's not a certificate to actually operate. There are more things that have to be done before they can operate. So the situation is that process proceeds for people to get certificates to operate.
Well, the folks who say that you're holding this up, they say that if the federal government wants to bring prosecutions, that would be up to them. And I guess they're citing other states where there is medical marijuana, and it's been up to the feds if they want to prosecute to do so. Why is our state different than those that have passed this?
Well, in other states, the federal government has prosecuted. In Colorado, I think they've prosecuted over 50 cases, and in California, they prosecuted over several hundred cases of dispensaries that were selling medical marijuana. So these are dispensaries that were licensed by the state to sell medical marijuana. The federal government still went against them, and people there are facing criminal charges. There's one in Colorado who did a plea deal for 10 years in prison. So the federal government has been proceeding with prosecutions, but that's not relevant to my job. My job is there's a statute that says that if I'm asked by a member of the legislature or by certain other officials, which would include county attorneys, to give an opinion, then I have to give an opinion. And 13 out of 15 county attorneys themselves had reached the conclusion that this was preempted under federal law. They asked me for an opinion. I had to give it. The professional lawyers here analyzed it. This was not a political decision on my part. It was a decision on their part. And indeed, you know, as far as my views go, I've opposed these initiatives, but I'm also a great believer in respecting the will of the voters. And when I was in the legislature in 1997, I led the opposition to an effort by the legislature to undo a similar initiative that passed in 1996, because I thought we should respect the will of the voters. So, you know, in my personal views are that I'm very hesitant to do anything that would be contrary to the will of the voters, because they're the ones who elected me in the first place. So if they don't know what they're doing with initiatives, you'd think, well, maybe they didn't know what they were doing when they elected me. So I don't like the idea of going contrary to the will of the voters. But the law is the law, and I'm required to give an opinion and act on that opinion as to what is the law. And the professional lawyers concluded here, and I think there's no way really to argue with them, because it was based on the two most recent controlling cases, that when federal law conflicts with state law, under Article 6 of the United States Constitution, the federal law is supreme, and that states are not permitted to authorize people to do things that are prohibited under federal law.
What about your personal opinion on marijuana?
I've always been against medical marijuana, and against marijuana in general, but I've always been against medical marijuana because I think it changes. I realize that there are some people who have a legitimate medical need, although there are other medicines they can use, but I think that the bulk of the permits don't go to people with legitimate medical needs, and you can see that by the fact that the bulk of them go to males, I think, between the ages of 18 to 24, something like that, which would not comport with the percentages of people who need them for medical reasons. And I think it creates a bad atmosphere for society. It's trying to give the message to kids to not use drugs, and then to have, you know, dispensaries that they walk by on the street openly selling marijuana, I think sends a very bad message. And as you know, Bill, I've been very involved in education, and I've seen kids lose their ambition, their grades go down, they don't care about achieving anything anymore because the marijuana gives them a state that, you know, what does this other stuff matter? I just feel good by smoking.
Did you ever use marijuana?
Never. And in fact, I was at, not even without inhaling, I was at, and I attended Harvard College for 4 years and Harvard Law School for 3 years during the 1960s, which was the big time for drugs at Harvard. I was a class of 67 at Harvard College and a class of 1970 at Harvard Law School. And whenever a marijuana cigarette came out at a party, I was out the door with the snap of a finger, because I felt that I had been blessed with a good brain and I wasn't going to take any risks with it.
Did you smoke cigarettes?
No, never.
So you weren't into the cigarettes or the marijuana?
No.
Someone on our Facebook page wanted me to ask you about this classical group. Do you still get together with the musicians every weeknight?
Yeah,
Every
Sunday night we have a chamber music group that meets at my house, yeah.
And what kind of music do you play?
We play Baroque music, which means nothing after... we're prohibited from playing anything after 1750.
Okay. A quick question about a U.S. judge concerning voter forms. You have a comment on that?
Yes. What happened was the Ninth Circuit ruled that Arizona could not ask people for evidence of citizenship when they register people to vote. I think that's a bad decision. I filed a petition for certiorari to the United States Supreme Court, and I hope the U.S. Supreme Court will hear it. If they do, I think we'll win it in the United States Supreme Court. In the meantime, there's a question of what the trial judge was going to do in implementing the Ninth Circuit decision. And we tried and were unable to reach an agreement with the plaintiffs because they wanted things that we simply could not agree to. They wanted to preclude the state forms. There's both a state form and a federal form. The decision is that the federal form cannot have as a condition that you give evidence of citizenship, but the state form can. And the plaintiffs wanted us to preclude use of the state form. We didn't think that the decision called for that, and the trial judge agreed with us and did not preclude use of the state form. The judge simply required that both the state and the federal form be made available to people. They wanted the decision to be retroactive to 2008. We were not agreeable to that. The judge kind of compromised on that and made it be retroactive to 2011, not 2008. And the plaintiffs wanted the court to rewrite the Arizona Election Procedurals Manual. We don't think that's a job that the court would normally perform. That's for the Secretary of State. The judge agreed with us on that.
Tom Horn, thank you very much. Have a great afternoon.
Great to be with you, Bill.
Tom Horn, our lead-off interview on the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program sponsored by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Learn more about Splendido. They're going to buy you a free breakfast at the Hilton Tucson East on Thursday, September 20th, 9:30 in the morning. RSVP and say you heard about it on the Buckmaster Show. 762-4090, 762-4090, SplendidoTucson.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Kolb Road extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com. A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, that disclaimer does not mean that I can't make a recommendation. And the Buckmaster Show recommends Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Hey, Shell, how are you?
I am well, Bill. How are you today?
Doing well. And I looked at the wires, as I do, all the news first thing in the morning, and I see this good financial news. The S&P hits a four-year high.
And yeah, we needed to shut down the markets at 9:30 this morning.
I thought, oh, this is great. Shell's going to be in a great mood. He's going to have a big smile. Not that you don't. You're always in a good mood.
I'm usually in a pretty good mood.
But the market then kind of hit this milestone and then went south.
Went into free fall. It's down about 90 points right now, and I'm 15 minutes delayed in my smartphone.
Calculation,
so,
yeah.
So I have no idea where it is. It looks like it's down about 90 points. But I also can't find a good reason for what happened. I think it might have something to do with Best Buy's reporting really bad earnings. Best Buy, of course, has been in trouble because of a change in the business. And they've announced closing of stores and some real difficulties. And their quarterly announcement was worse than was expected. And to the extent that that's a reflection of consumer sentiment and consumer purchasing, then it might be extrapolated forward.
Maybe the market folks are just kind of – it's a slow day.
Well, yeah, and that's true. You know, we're in the dog days of August,
yeah,
if you will.
Right up to Labor Day, it's kind of quiet, isn't it?
Right, and the market has been – very, very aggressively positive. I mean, we're still well above 13,000. We're up, you know, the Dow's up about 8.5 points. The Nasdaq's up 18 points. This is as of close of business on Friday. Yesterday was a flat day. Today is going to be a down day. All of the things we've talked about over the past, year,
mm-hmm.
Appear to be in place. There's good news from Europe. There's bad news from Europe. There's, you know, lukewarm news from Europe. And the market is just kind of lolling around, trying to find good news, because some of the indications are the corporate profits are going to be a little bit better than maybe we expected them to be a few weeks ago.
And the seesaw up and down in Europe is probably going to continue at least through the end of this year.
Well, they
beyond.
Keep kicking the can down the road, and that's the problem. They're not. They announced that they're going to fix it. That they're going to be. In fact, there were some good announcements yesterday and today from the Germans and from the central bank, talking about their willingness to issue bonds and their willingness maybe to put a cap on the amount of money that sovereign nations would pay for new sovereign debt. That seemed to be encouraging, but there's no firm commitments. The Europeans are doing what you would expect 26 independent states to do, which is to have their own self-interests in mind, at least equally to those of the European community as a whole.
You say we're up about 8.5%. Your prediction for the year was four?
Six.
Six. Okay. So we're a little above what you were predicting. Right. How does that, if we continue to be in that ballpark, how does that affect investors? Obviously, it's good news for them, but you really want more.
Well, traditionally, equities have outperformed other types of investments over the long run. And so the traditional investment advisor is going to tell certainly younger investors, but even investors who are our age, that they have to be exposed to equities in the range of 30 to 40% because over the long haul, they're going to outperform most other investments. Well, over the last decade, that just hasn't proven to be true. And in fact, there is parity between what you can get out of bond funds today and what you can get out of equities. And that, if you take a look at the past decade or maybe 12 years, the amount of volatility that you see in fixed income investments is less than equities, and the returns are about the same. In fact, some fixed income instruments like high yield bond funds are just gangbusters. I mean, they're in the 18, 20, 22% range. I've done some research for some clients this week on REITs, on real estate investment trusts. Over the past 52 weeks, some of those guys are up 25 to 30%.
Really? That's the stratosphere exactly.
Now, is it going to stay that way? You know, is it because they're paying good dividends or because, you know, real estate is just beginning to make a comeback? Can you count on them continuing to do that? I don't think you can. But there are, you know, if you cherry pick investments, there are some investments that certainly have been, bright shining stars, even in down markets. But for the average investor who's not timing the market or going into risky stuff and keeping their fingers crossed, 6 to 8% seems to be about what you can expect. If you do better than that, that's great. And so I continue to believe that until I see evidence to the contrary, I've got my clients in very defensive positions where we're getting similar returns to equities, but with a lot less risk and volatility.
Yeah, I mean, you've been very successful with your clients in a very diversified portfolio.
A little jealous of those REIT guys, though.
20 to 25%.
Yeah, a couple of these. And these are publicly traded.
I don't know anything about that. Is that really high risk? It's a real estate, real high risk?
We've seen bankruptcies in some REITs. We've seen badly managed REITs.
It's REIT.
Real Estate Investment Trust is what it stands for.
Okay, that's the acronym for it.
And what they do is they participate in various aspects of the real estate market, some of them, for instance, in mortgages or CMOs. Some of them are just writing paper. They're buying up distressed paper and then reissuing the paper. Some are actually buying facilities, office facilities, residential facilities, healthcare facilities. But because especially commercial real estate has been growing nicely and there's the anticipation of a recovery, these REITs have been doing very well on the open market. And these REITs trade on the open market like stocks. And I researched 20 or 25 of them for a client this week. And I saw returns north of 20% over the past 52 weeks. And, you know, that's very, very impressive. I don't think it's sustainable.
Shelley Fishman is with us, certified financial planner, and that designation after his name is important.
Yes, it is, because it means, number one, you get a certain level of education, but most importantly, you get a fiduciary responsibility as part of the deal, so that when I'm acting in a planning and advisory capacity, I accept fiduciary responsibility, which means that I have to keep the investors, my clients' interests in the forefront, rather than just what's appropriate for them. I have to do what's best for them.
And you operate out of the pyramid credit unions.
Federal credit union,
Federal credit union.
The whole credit union concept is such a wonderful concept, and it's just such a great place to do your banking. And for me, it's a great place to to park myself because the members come there. I can help members, but also people seem to trust credit unions, and they should. And some of that rubs off on me, and I like that a lot.
And you're there to serve not only those clients, you're that service for them, but for anyone else who wants some smart investment
Thank
advice.
Thank you for reminding me of yes. that. I don't say it often enough. You don't have to be a Pyramid Federal Credit member to invest with Shelley Fishman and LPL Financial. Those are completely separate things.
You can find out more about Shelley. Go to our website, buckmastershow.com, or call Shelley.
At 795-7950. And I always reply very, very quickly.
Okay, thanks, Shel. Have a good week.
You too, Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured, not credit union guaranteed, and may lose value.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Missouri Congressman Todd Akin says he's not going to give up the U.S. Senate race, despite calls from some influential Republicans that he do so. President Obama says deep cuts in college aid proposed by Mitt Romney would be the moral equivalent of telling young people, you're on your own. Republican candidate Romney says his campaign is a little wiser in spending its money than President Obama's team. He tells a fundraiser in Houston that he plans to spend his campaign money to win. South Africa's defense minister is apologizing for last week's police killings of 34 striking minors. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 75 points. The NASDAQ is off 13. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Noble Hops Gastropub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Well, 34. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Once a month, we focus on animal care issues here on the Buckmaster Show. The segment is about specialty animal care, presented by Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, an award-winning facility open 24/7 and recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet. Located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, and on the web at vscot.com, Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, specialty vets for special pets. Joining us on this month's animal care segment, Dr. Gail Stevenson, a veterinarian working with cats and dogs with behavioral problems. In addition to her veterinary practice, she is on the staff at the University of Arizona, is actively involved in new research findings in the areas of memory and learning. Dr. Stevenson, how are you today?
Just fine, Mr. Buckmaster. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I want to talk a little bit about behavioral problems in our pets. How important is behavior compared to other health problems in our companion animals?
Well, actually, behavior problems are the number one reason that pets are given up, either to a shelter or to be euthanized. Most estimates range anywhere from 75 to 90% of these pets, and that's actually more than all other health issues combined.
Are the behavioral problems really a health issue, or is it a training issue? How do you address it?
Well, I think that's at the heart of every owner that's struggling with a challenging pet. We all have busy lives, and we wonder if it's our fault the pet isn't behaving. Maybe we didn't take them to a training class, or maybe we didn't have a lot of time with them due to work or family responsibilities. So we feel guilty, and that's sad because it often hinders people from getting help early on. And the truth is that pets with behavior problems have special needs that go beyond what can be done in a training class or that can be solved by spending more time with them. Often these pets are more anxious or reactive than other pets. For example, we expect Fido to bark when somebody comes to the door, but we also don't want him to. We want him to settle down after we say it's okay. It's an exaggerated response if Fido lunges and tries to bite when the door is open and your poor neighbor just wanted to give you some mail. Or you could have a pet like Fluffy who has trouble being away from their owner. We expect Fluffy to look a little sad when we leave him, but we don't expect to come home to ripped up carpet, shattered blinds, or notes on your door that say, "That dog barked all day." And you know something has to change in a hurry then. We also don't train cats to use the litter box. They do it instinctually. But any type of kitty stress can be quickly translated into urine marking, or as we say in the profession, P-mail. The bottom line in a behavior problem is that we have an exaggerated response. It's over the top from what you'd expect for the situation. These pets are bright, they're intelligent, they're perceptive, and some have even been star pupils in obedience class. But their ability to control the reactions is hampered. And families with these pets, they know something's wrong, but sometimes they're just too embarrassed to talk about it, thinking they should be able to fix it themselves. And I'm just hoping this kind of opens a door for some people.
Dr. Gail Stevenson is with us on the Buckmaster Show, a veterinarian working with cats and dogs with behavior problems at the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. So how does a vet help in a case like this?
Well, even the primary care vet can start because they have a lot of experience with lots of animals, and they can help an owner differentiate between a training issue or something they think is over the top. second, health issues sometimes are the actual root of a behavior change. We all know that pain or discomfort affects how we act, and same is true for our pets. A bladder infection can make a kitty feel like she has to go all the time, and she may not get back to her box, or she may even avoid that box if she mistakenly thinks it is the reason she hurts. Or how many of us have had the dog of our youth, went everywhere with us, hiked with us, but by the time we start a family, that dog's older and may even have some arthritis. Now that old dog is acting grumpy or growls when a toddler comes close, and it could be that the arthritis is making it hard for them to get up, and they're afraid the baby will fall on them. Some conditions aren't as obvious, and so your veterinarian may recommend blood or urine tests or even x-rays, but first schedule a checkup with your primary care vet and make sure things are okay there.
And what kind of behavioral services do you offer at Veterinary Specialty Center at Tucson?
We see both dogs and cats that are struggling with a variety of problems. The most common problems in dogs are separation anxiety. This is a pet that panics or becomes destructive, howls or hoofs when they're home alone. Some owners really think initially their dog is trying to get even with them for being left home, or they just think they need to spend more time with them. But neither of these approaches really gets to the root of the panic. We need to change how they feel when they're alone. We deal with some fears, everything from cars to people to storms. Arizona is second only to Florida for lightning. We see some compulsive behaviors. These pets repeat the same behaviors over and over to the point of causing a health problem or actually interfering with their normal life. Like they lose weight because they can't stop doing what they are doing long enough to eat. These are pets that lick until they have sores, chase shadows or reflections, snap at imaginary flies, or pounce at imaginary mice. Not too long ago, Tufts Veterinary School made headlines because they were able to prove that at least one compulsive disorder, a condition in Dobermans that we call flank sucking, is actually linked to a genetic difference. And we suspect that many behaviors may have a genetic link because some of these pets act differently even as puppies or kittens. What? And, of course, I see a lot of aggressions. Sometimes the aggression is toward other dogs, dogs they see on walks, or even companion dogs they live with. They can be great together 95% of the time, but all it takes is that little trigger, and there's a fight. Each time it happens, the fight gets a little worse, and eventually somebody gets hurt enough to need medical care, and sometimes it's one of the people trying to break them up.
Mm-hmm.
Much better to treat early on.
Dr. Stevenson, what about medication? A lot of people are probably leery of having to put their cat or dog on medication, but sometimes it is the best route to go, I guess.
You know, I'm with these people on that. Nobody wants a dopey or a groggy pet. You want them to be who they really are without the problems that they're struggling with. So, first of all, medications are rarely a required part of any treatment program. You can always opt out on that. The rest of the program, which can work on their behavior modification and on safety issues, all of those are crucial to what we're doing. But the medications are not crucial, but they can be an aid. Second, we do have some sedating medications, the ones that actually make a pet groggy, but they're primarily used just for intermittent problems like thunderstorms or fireworks. We use them to get through an event safely, and then we stop them. The big thing to know is that most of the medications used in behavior actually are aimed at helping the pet's ability to focus and learn. We've learned that certain neurotransmitters that we all have in our brain are not adequate in some pets, and like some people, they then become more anxious or reactive. If we can help that neurotransmitter, the pet is less anxious and they can learn better. This is a lot like what happens in diabetes. If you don't have enough insulin, you're sick. If we give you the insulin you're lacking, you're healthy. So when these medications help normalize the pet's own neurotransmitters, they actually work on the identical pathways in the brain that are used in learning. So we're not changing who they are. We're just helping them be themselves. And some of the comments my clients make are, this is the cat I always knew I had, or my dog is so much happier. These drugs are not addictive, and they can be used as long or as little as you need them.
Dr. Gail Stevenson is with us, a veterinarian working with cats and dogs with behavior problems at the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. Are you a cat or a dog person personally? Do you have cats or dogs at home?
I was one of those kids that grew up in a rural community back in the Midwest. I had everything that could walk and crawl, okay? So I'm an everything but probably spiders. I'm not crazy about spiders.
You know, my wonderful Norwegian forest cat, also known as Maine Coon Cat, my princess at home, is so terrified this time of year, Dr. Stevenson. If there's the slightest hint of thunder, my princess will hear it, and she'll be under the bed for hours.
Yeah. You know, they're just, and this is the time of year that we think about thunder fears, you know. And it's sad because they're just terrorized. So we work with these pets. We do the behavior techniques to help them gradually get used to the things that they were fearful of, but we do it in such tiny increments that it's not stressful. They think it's just a game we're playing. And then, like I said, for specific intermittent fears, like our thunderstorms here in Arizona, sometimes we can give them a little medication to get them through the storm so it's just not so scary to them.
How about if, quick question, final question, if it's difficult to bring the animal to the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson because of the behavior problem, what do you suggest?
Well, that's the good news. I do both in-clinic visits and home visits.
Oh, you make house calls.
I sure do. I'm one of the few house call vets, okay? But it's great. I love to see the animals in their own home environment, and they do act differently there, especially the kitties, the shy kitties, or the situations where you have two or more pets and it's hard to get them both to the clinic safely. So,
thank you very much, Dr. Gail Stevenson. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me.
Dr. Gail Stevenson, a veterinarian working with cats and dogs with behavioral problems at the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, an award-winning facility that's open 24/7, located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, and on the web at vscot.com. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, specialty vets for special pets.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Welcome back. The Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's is located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. We are joined now on the Buckmaster Show live line by the Tucson Weekly Arts Editor, Margaret Regan. She's also the Buckmaster Show Arts Editor, and she is the author of the 2010 book, The Death of Jocelyn, Immigration Stories from the Arizona-Mexico Borderlands. How are you, Margaret?
I'm good. Bill, how are you?
Doing real well. Your story this week in the Tucson Weekly focusing on a show at the Tucson Botanical Gardens.
Yeah, and people probably don't know that they have a very nice gallery there in the old house. It's called the Porter Hall Gallery. And typically they do art that's associated with nature, naturally, since that's their mission in life, is to bring us the plants of the desert Southwest. But I really like this show of the artist is named Patricia Kutcher, and it's called Desierto, or Desert. And there were these wonderful photographs and mixed media paintings on top of photographs that kind of evoked the desert landscape and the sky. And interestingly, for this time of year, she did lots of monsoon skies. On my way in there Friday afternoon, it was raining, and there were amazing cloud formations over the Catalinas, kind of cotton puffs all over. It was really something to see. And I went in the gallery, and here were all these monsoon skies depicted somewhat abstractly in art. I just thought they were great.
And that's at the Tucson Botanical Gardens, the Porter Hall Gallery. That show is now up, correct?
Correct, yep.
Made in Arizona, photographs from the collection of the Center for Creative Photography. The center was shuttered for the summer, back open now.
Right, yeah, it just opened again last week, and I have not seen this show yet, but interesting, you know, this is their centennial show. As you know, we've had over the century and a half that those of us from the outside world have known about Arizona. Many, many famous photographers came to Arizona, you know, beginning with Timothy O'Sullivan, who's one of my heroes, an early exploration photographer who made some of the first photos of the Grand Canyon. I believe he made the first photo of Mission San Javier. So it starts with a very important photograph that he did at Black Canyon, they called it in those days, in the Grand Canyon. And then it, you know, looks at a variety of photographs made in our state ever since. So that looks to be an interesting show.
How about theater, live theater? Anything going on this weekend?
Yeah, well, our theater season is starting up again after the slow summer. Although I must say, the people at Live Theater Workshop, where this production of Collected Stories is opening, they work all the time. Unlike most of the other theaters, they work all through the summer, 12 months a year. But anyway, the show opening this weekend is a show that got really good reviews in New York a couple of years ago, Collected Stories. It's about an older writer who takes a young intern. They're both women fiction writers. And lo and behold, the younger one learns her lessons all too well and writes a book about the older author's personal life. So it kind of looks at issues of that, you know, appropriation and what writers really are entitled to write about. May they write about people in their lives? So that looks to be an interesting show.
And that opens this weekend?
That's right. I guess it's Friday night.
And then we talked a little bit about this last Tuesday, the puppet show at the Rogue Theater.
Yeah, Puppets Among Us. I just love that name. That's the new little puppet playhouse that we have here in Tucson. They're debuting on Saturday. They're borrowing the Rogue Theater for their first show, but they will have their own theater in November. And this one is El Sueño de Frida, meaning Frida's dream. And it's kind of a Day of the Dead themed thing, and all the players are puppets. Made by the wonderful Matt Cotton, who's a painter as well as a puppet maker. And there will be live music, too, one night only at the Rogue.
Comedy Playhouse, they've got something going, too.
Yeah, that's a funny place. It's a small community theater in a shopping center at First, and I think it's Prince. And they, you know, use a lot of local actors, and it's very good-hearted. And they tend to bring back playwrights from the olden days. This one, The Truth About the Blyads, struck my fancy because the playwright is A.A. Milne, who's much better known for authoring Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yeah.
So this is our chance to see how he fares as a playwright.
Margaret Regan is with us. This is the Buckmaster Show Arts Report, presented by Moe's Gallery, moesgallery.com. Music, there's a free concert. Anything that is free is always an attraction in Southern Arizona.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's... Saturday afternoon from noon to 2 down on 17th Street, two singer-songwriter types called Don and Victoria Armstrong are going to be presenting a concert of Southwest Border Region folk music.
Well, that should be fun. And there is plenty going on. We talked last week about that very extensive Tucson Weekly cover story that you had,
yes,
listing everything that's going up. It's going to be a very busy art season. I was thinking about you when I saw in the Arizona Daily Star the story about, despite the fact that the arrests along the border in the Arizona sector have gone down dramatically, we may be on... in fact, we are on pace for another setting a record of deaths in the desert.
Yeah, that was a good story. I've been keeping track of this myself. You know, the apprehensions are way down with the economy and probably because of the increased border enforcement. We have many, many fewer people crossing. But the thing is, they're dying at much, much higher rates. I think it was Tim Steller wrote that story in the Star. I think he cited a rate of like 150 deaths per 100,000 apprehensions, which is, you know, easily five times the rate of death just a few years ago. So part of it is this summer was exceptionally hot. We had many, many 100-degree days, and as soon as you see those, the deaths go up. And the other issue is, you know, because we have done a lot to tighten up our border, people are going farther into the wilderness, and they're walking many more days before they get to the ride. Used to be they could cross over in Aravaca, near Aravaca or in Douglas, get to a ride within a day or less. Nowadays, a lot of them are walking 5 days. And as you know, the longer you're out there in the wilderness, the greater your risk is.
And your book, The Death of Jocelyn, came out published by Beacon Press in 2010. It's still selling very well. I did an Amazon check on it this morning.
Oh, you
and
did?
And the reviews, this will make you very happy. Out of about 24 reviews, you had a 4.5 star ranking out of 5, which is excellent.
Oh.
So lots of people like this book, and it continues to sell very well. And you spent years researching this, didn't
That's
you?
That's right. Yeah, because I started writing about the border back in around 2000, which was the first summer that we really started seeing the death spike in southern Arizona. So I wrote a lot of cover stories for the Weekly and, you know, had accumulated a lot of material, and then I got a book contract, which is very nice. And then I went out and I did a lot more reporting. So it kind of covers, you know, changes over 10 years. And one of the things, unfortunately, is that did not change is that our numbers of deaths have risen steady and even increased, you know.
Yeah, that's too bad. And
yeah.
it continues to go up.
Yeah.
Margaret Regan, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Our arts report on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing in the Interior Design Center at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Want to tell you about Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. So much to do over there. They've got a free music festival returning to Silver City the weekend of September the 7th. They call it Pick-a-Mania. A lot of great places to stay in the Silver City area, including the Pinos Altos Cabins and Bear Mountain Lodge. For more information, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Our thanks to Culligan Water, providing bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or to your business. Coming up this afternoon at 4 o'clock, it's the John C. Scott Show. Then tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. Thelma Grimes will be one of their guests tomorrow. She's editor of the Explorer News. They'll also have a business profile with the president and COO of Cousins Subs tomorrow on Wake Up Tucson. That will do it for this Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Thank you very much for being with us. Have a great afternoon. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 12:04.
KVOI KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice, Good News Radio Network.